Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
By the way, on the phone line is Brian, help me with the last name, Sansoni. He is a spokesperson for the American Cleaning Institute. I got a couple of basic nuts and bolts questions for you. Brian, how are you today?
Doing well. I hope you and your listeners are staying home safely.
We are, and that's the thing. So you are a trade association. You represent the cleaning industry, cleaning products and stuff like that?
That's right. All the soaps, detergents, cleaning products that you typically will buy, those are our a lot of our member companies.
What's the process I should use to wipe down my kitchen counters and surfaces?
You want to clean and you want to disinfect, especially if, say, that countertop is dirty. If you were making food, you can use some dish soap and water to wipe it off or a surface cleaning product. But then you want to disinfect it, again, specifically if you were preparing food before. So whether you have a disinfectant spray or a disinfecting wipe, after you use it, make sure you let it air dry. And that can be from 30 seconds to several minutes, depending on the product. It mentions it on the label, but you need that time so the germ kill or the virus kill can take place effectively.
That's what Dr. Kevin Moe says here. He's a frequent guest on our radio station here in Chicago, and he said that it doesn't have to take real long. You don't have to let it soak for 20 minutes, but mm-hmm. you need to make sure that it's dry before you then begin to use that disinfected surface. So first warm soapy water, say, then dry that off, then disinfect it with whatever I'm going to use.
That's right. And if you're using a disinfecting wipe, try to wipe straight rather than in circles, because if you do that, you might just be spreading around the germs. So try to wipe straight and just use one wipe per surface.
As if I can find a wipe. I'm not kidding. Since the third week of March, every time I go into a store, which isn't as often as it used to be, I look for, it's kind of a joke, right? I turn to the people working at the store and I go, you guys got any of those wipes? And they just go, of course we don't. Who are you kidding? When am I going to get some of those wipes, man?
So the reports that we're seeing, it may be until early summer before the regular shipments may be there. It's been tough. The companies are working around the clock to produce these products. There have been some issues with getting some of the necessary chemistries from overseas, so they're producing at capacity, but it is bit of a challenge. But it may be before early summer when hopefully the shelves won't be as empty. That's our hope.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because I thought they're still making the stuff and somebody must be there when they unpack the boxes, because I'm sure these companies are not only in business, they must be doing gangbuster business. But if they can't get as much product, maybe they're not making as much as they would have normally been, huh?
They're certainly trying to. They've ramped up production around the clock. Some of the products are going to healthcare institutions first and other agencies that are kind of at the healthcare front lines, but they're working to get it right to the retailer. It's important, maybe your local supermarket can maybe give you an idea of when some of these products are coming in. Obviously they come in, they don't stay on the shelves too long.
They don't. They've even got a little thing saying limit one per customer, and I thought I would just take one. No chance. When I'm cleaning kitchen countertop surfaces or high contact areas in my home, is there a product or a chemical you like? Is it bleach? Is it alcohol? What's best to clean?
Bleach can be a great disinfectant, and you don't need much. It's about maybe like a third of a cup of bleach per gallon of water, and so it's diluted, and then that's again, you can wipe a surface that way. And again, you just don't need much. Obviously you do want to dilute it, so, and you do want to make sure it doesn't sit on the counter where a young child can get a hold of it either. But bleach is a great can be a great disinfectant.
When we wipe down our wood floors, sometimes I'll use just diluted vinegar and water. Does that work on? Does that kill germs? Is that a good way to clean things?
So vinegar is not recognized as a disinfectant, and not by the Environmental Protection Agency. So, I mean, it does have some antibacterial properties, but as far as, say, I want to use vinegar to make sure, to ensure we don't get coronavirus, it is not recognized as a registered disinfectant. And I think with wood floors, just to make sure you use the right solution so obviously you don't damage your wood floor.
Yep. I've heard that some people say don't do that because that happens if you do it too much. What are the contact points that you're talking a lot about inside the home?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously so many of us are working from home. The school age kids are home. You want to make sure you clean and disinfect those hot spots, light switches, remote controls, game consoles. We're talking about the faucets in the kitchen, in the bathroom, the handles to your appliances. You know, we're opening up that fridge all day long. So just remember to regularly clean and disinfect those surfaces. And again, especially if there's a lot of people, a lot of people in the home.
Brian Sansoni's on a phone line, a spokesperson for the American Cleaning Institute. I never thought I would be really interested in what the American Cleaning Institute has to say, but here we are. Jane, you're on WGN Radio. What was your question or comment?
Yes, hi, Jane. We get our bottled water delivered, and it is now non-fluoridated. What are the ramifications of how long can we drink water without fluoride in it?
This is in Hinckley?
Yes. Well, I didn't want to mention the name.
Oh, pardon me, but the Hinckley Big Rock out there, huh?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, why isn't
there's no fluoride? They're giving us non-fluoridated water. Well, you know, we all need fluoride for our teeth, I think.
Why are they doing that?
They can't get fluoride.
Oh, no kidding. It's a lack of that.
So is that a product? Does this man have an answer where that product might be?
What are your thoughts about that, Brian?
Yeah, I can't profess that we have any expertise on fluoridation. You may want to just talk to the local government agency there. Unfortunately, we really don't focus our expertise on that.
I hadn't thought about that, but I guess this is just another instance where is that what it is, though, Jane? So they're using the fluoride for other purposes, and so the
fluoride... Their answer was, we can't get the fluoride. Now, where that comes from and why it's not accessible, I don't know. They don't know.
Yeah. Sorry, we can't be of more help. It's 10:43. Maybe if you've got a question, here's your chance. The cleaning expert is on a line. This is WGN. Brian Sansoni's on a phone line. He's a spokesperson for the American Cleaning Institute. I'm getting a lot of calls from people and text messages, David, about wipes and how difficult they are to find at the stores.
Yeah.
You said that the industry is ramping up, but it's having trouble keeping up, and then there is a supply issue of the chemicals. Some of my listeners are saying, can't I fashion my own? What if I just dilute some bleach with a paper towel or something like that? Is that effectively as good?
Well, the bleach solution that we talked about before is a good idea. You know, you can dilute your bleach. Again, it's about maybe a third of a cup in a gallon of water. And then if you want to, again, wipe the surfaces that way, that's fine. Because, again, bleach can be an excellent disinfectant.
This caller, sir, texter says, Spick and Span, is that a good product to disinfect with?
Without having the list in front of me, I'm not sure if the product... is a disinfectant. So one thing that your listeners should be reminded about, if a product says it kills germs or kills viruses, it has to have what's called an EPA registration number that's on the product label. I mean, that's that's the law. So if the product says it's it can kill germs or viruses, there's an EPA registration number on there.
And if it says something like that, but it doesn't have that, then maybe that's just advertising. But what's I need to look for an EPA number on there?
Yeah, there's an EPA registration number. It's on the product label. Because if you make a germ or virus kill claim, and I'm talking about like these surface cleaning products, and it doesn't have an EPA registration number on it, they're breaking the law. So that's why it's important. The companies that play by the rules will know that the ingredients, the germ killing ingredients, have to be approved by the Environmental Protection Agency.
This is Bonnie. You're on WGN. Bonnie, what can we do for you?
Yeah, I had read that just spraying straight 3% hydrogen peroxide on surfaces and letting it sit for a while, not wiping it, is good to disinfect for the virus. Is that true?
The hydrogen peroxide, it needs to be at a specific level. I mean, it can clean. The CDC.gov has some specific recommendations about using those kind of products.
I'm sorry, so is hydrogen peroxide, how your question, Bonnie, is does it kill the virus or does it kill germs, right?
Yes, I was told as long as it's 3% and it has to stay on the surface long enough, so I let it dry completely on its own, and I've been cleaning all my surfaces with that.
Yeah, boy, that's one thing that we hear time and again is make sure, it dries completely. Okay, thanks for that, Bonnie. Time for maybe one more call. Before I let you go, though, Brian, any other last words of advice here that we want to make sure we get from you?
Yeah, it's really important when you're cleaning around the house, no matter what kind of product you're using, make sure you store it out of sight, out of the reach of young children. There have been some reports of increased calls to poison control centers since people seem to be cleaning more. So you want to make sure, yes, use the products as directed, but make sure you're storing them out of sight, out of the reach of children.
This texter says, if I use 91% alcohol, can I dilute it or should I always use it straight? Seems to me like on disinfectants, the number was 70%. Was that the number we were looking for when people were making their own hand sanitizers with alcohol? The alcohol you consume isn't strong enough. I thought it sounds to me like 70% was the number, Brian.
Yeah, so with hand sanitizers, we're talking about those type of products. So, and again, as CDC recommends, if it's an alcohol-based sanitizer, it should contain at least 60% alcohol to be effective. So if it's less than that, it may not get the job done.
Lastly, let's talk to all these calls here, and I don't think we're going to have time for everybody. Virginia, what was your question? You're on the air.
Hey, hi. Good morning to everyone. How's Chicagoland? So, real quick question. As a nurse, I work at Stroger, and we use the Cavi wipes to wipe down our surfaces before we start our shift. And it has kind of like a contact time to leave it air dry and so forth. So, we abide by that pretty much so we can be protected. So, then I kind of like was wondering, how are we going to monitor, for example, when the school year starts? Let's say we have 30 children per classroom or whatever the number may be. Are we going to, who's going to monitor wiping of the table surfaces where the children are going to be sitting down individually versus a rag that's going to go from one table to the next, to the next, to the next? And furthermore, how are restaurants going to be handling wiping down surfaces as we start opening up our economy and kind of like sanitizing areas where people are going to be eating? And for these super spreaders that may be at a table, let's say you're at a restaurant, not showing symptoms, and then their table gets wiped, and then that same rag gets wiped to another person that is symptom-free, and then you contaminate that person.
I'm hoping that if you're using something that's going to kill the germ, right, that mm-hmm. I won't transmit it with the rag, because the rag was killing the virus as I go. But I think you're really on to something here, and that is...
At what point do you change that rag in between patrons?
What do you think about all of that, Brian?
Those questions are so important, as some businesses are starting to reopen around the country, and schools are planning, hopefully, to resume operation this fall. Especially with the schools, they need to already be thinking about specific cleaning protocols, because parents are going to be more concerned about in-school hygiene than ever before. So they need to be working on those plans already. Kids need to have time to wash their hands before they go to lunch. Hygiene needs to be front and center, one of the most important issues. Those protocols need to be strengthened in schools across
exactly.
the country. Absolutely.
Hmm. Brian Sansoni is a spokesperson for the American Cleaning Institute. Brian, we appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, and stay safe.
Yeah, and to Virginia, I think you make a really yeah. interesting point there, Virginia. That's that's an issue that hopefully somebody's thinking about, because I hadn't actually thought about that much, you know?
Exactly, and it makes it a little bit concerning for people that are going to start going eating in or even dining out, as we're kind of like weather gets better. And we have, like, these eating out little tables out in the sidewalks or whatnot for many restaurants. It's the hygiene in between tables. So how are we going to monitor that? And are we going to start using Cavi wipes as we use them in the hospital, or these individual little sani wipes that we can dispose in yeah. between each and every table?
Well, I'm just thinking, too, say you're the supervisor of a lunchroom somewhere, or you've got 25, 30 five kids in your classroom. You've got your hands full as it is. You almost think that the schools are going to need some sort of hygiene supervisor, right? Some sort of cleaning crew. The janitors or whoever do it are going to have to get trained in a way that nobody has been trained before.
And that is why in hospitals, what we do, and then when we go out into the public, it is a huge difference. We can each and every one sanitize our bathrooms, sanitize our eating areas, our kitchens, our play areas with our children. If you have certain standards at home, now are those same standards going to be applied everywhere in public settings and schools and restaurants? Well, let's see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean it can't. But it is going to have to. People won't go. Yeah, absolutely. Virginia, thanks for the phone call. Have a good day. I mean, because this is another thing that you must be feeling. Your family and friends are probably talking about this. If J.B. Pritzker said, okay, we're going to open like some of these other states tomorrow, and you can go to restaurants and we'll put the tables farther apart, or the kids can go back to school, I don't think this audience is going to rush out anyway. Even when they do say it's okay, if we don't have the confidence that they're keeping those places safe and clean, it's going to be hard for businesses to reopen anyway. I think we have this idea that when we open up the gates, oh, good, business is back. But you may be hesitant to go back even if you can. It's 10:58. The news is coming up.